Welcome to Are You Real Linked? A journey together toward a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with others. Through teachings of prayer and faith, our common stories of business, relationships, and personal growth will give you the direction you need to truly feel linked with the lost, hopeless, and hurting to help restore your community. Now please welcome your host, Christy Austin.
Well, good day to you, War Nation, and welcome to Are You Real Linked? With your host, Christy Austin, where we are connecting to deeper faith together. And how do we do that? We get linked with the Holy Spirit, and therefore we get linked with each other. As my good friend Casey Fuller of Are You Real Fit says, there's no distance in the Spirit. I'm grateful for a platform of positive media where we can get linked in the Spirit and get linked with each other. You can still catch John Fuller's Are You Real show on Wednesdays on YouTube, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, or at areyoureal.org. You won't want to miss some of his latest interviews where he takes a very real look at marriage, sex, and relationships. I'm incredibly grateful to be a part of a platform of positive media. We know that there's so much negative media, and I don't know about you, but I am so grateful to be part of a platform filled with positive media. Well, we have begun a journey this month here on Are You Real Linked, and we started at the beginning of February with looking at City Taking 101. We travel so much, and often, no matter where in the nation we go, when we visit different churches and different places, we hear over and over, I really want to take my city, but I don't know where to begin. And so what I say is, how do we take a city? We take a city through the art of giving away love. And so what we've begun doing is we've begun looking at Luke 10, which is a chapter that shares what it looks like to take your city through the art of giving. And if you missed it at the beginning of February, we did a great interview with George and Sarah Williams from Toledo, Ohio, who have really been putting this in place practically for about the last 13 years. I encourage you to go back and to review that episode because they give so many practical ways that you can give to your city, give love away. And we know that the Bible is very clear. Jesus said, you will know them by their love. And so as we continue to dive in, we're not really addressing, like Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. So we're not addressing anything new, but we're simply trying to practically live out Luke 10 in giving to our cities. And really, when we go into the city, as we talked about last episode, what that word go means. Now, today, this is going to be kind of a part two, actually, of our previous episode. Last episode, we really talked about there's only one way to go into a city, and we looked at what the word go actually means. And I want to review that with you today because the word go actually means not to go on a journey. That's a different Greek word, okay? But this Greek word actually means literally to lead under. It comes from two Greek words which are combined, hupo, which means under, and ago, which means to lead. So it literally means to lead under. Well, what are we being led under? We're being led under the Holy Spirit. We're under the covering of the Holy Spirit. And so go back to that episode because we really looked at what that looks like, and there's no safer place than in the heart of the will of God. No matter where you're at in your city, where you're at in your journey, there's no safer place than the will of God. We don't want to be Jonahs, that's for sure. We don't want to end up in the belly of a whale. He wasn't in God's will, and he ended up in the belly of a whale, right? And so we really want to be under the Spirit and under His protection. Today, what I'd like to do, this is part two of To Go, and I want to make it clear, as if you remember last episode, to go is an action verb, which means it requires action on the part of the sender. And so when Jesus was talking about to go, there was no go here from point A to point B, but he was very clear when he meant to go and to do these very practical things. And today, what we're going to do is I am going to give you six practical things that Jesus commanded us to do from this word to go. And so before we do that, I want to simply talk about out of Luke 10:3. We're looking at the same verse today, which is, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Okay, last week we talked about the safety, how we're led under the Spirit and the safety in that. And this week we're going to talk about what it means to go. Now, I want you to realize that every time this word to go is used, it's very interesting because whenever it's used, it's talking specifically, there's a divine partnership with the Holy Spirit producing kingdom results from healing to deliverance to reconciliation to selling our possessions to practical deeds, right? If you remember, to go basically joins, and I want you to get this today because the whole concept of linked is to be linked with His Spirit to go and do practical things. So there's two components to linked: prayer and practical support. If you remember, But in James 2:16, it says, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? And so the most important concept that I want you to get today as we talk is there's a two-part component to linked and to go. We're linking with the Spirit to engage in practical support and to do practical things in our community. I want to look at real quick Matthew 20, because what's going on in Matthew 20 really parallels what's going on in Luke 10. Matthew 20, and I want you to catch this, that Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and he's comparing the kingdom to a vineyard. And so vineyard literally equals kingdom, and that's going to be important to keep in mind. Now, we know that Jesus often talked in parables. A parable is literally a parallel. And so if you have a railroad track, one parallels the other. It's literal. That might not look exactly the same. There might be some dents and scratches on one side that aren't technically on the other, but they parallel each other. That is literally what a parable is. And so Jesus often talks in parables. Now in Matthew 20, what we're going to look at today, which is so fascinating and so phenomenal, some of these concepts in here have really been shaping for my life. I don't know about yours, but I've been deeply challenged to ask myself a simple question, okay? And I want to share something with you. For the last several months, one of the questions I've heard over and over in my mind is, if I called you to sell, you know, your nice suburban home with a big southern front porch and rocking chairs and all of those things, and to sell all that and to move into the heart of the city and to love your neighbor as yourself and to give to the city, would you do that, Christy? And that's a question that I've heard over and over for months. And so I believe that the Lord is calling us, whether that's a literal thing for you in an action. You know, remember Jesus said to the rich young ruler, go and sell your possessions, right? And give to the poor. And that go there is our same exact Greek word that we're using to go. And literally that is an action that Jesus asked him to do. It's a very practical action that aligns with the kingdom. And I'm not saying that everyone has to do that, but I do believe that there are moments that he calls us to, and maybe he's not calling us to do exactly that, but maybe he's just asking us to lay it all on the altar, kind of like our Isaac and Abraham moment, just laying it all on the altar, sacrificing it before him. So when we look at Matthew 20, what I want you to catch is it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven, and he compares it to a vineyard. And this is what Jesus says: "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which equals a penny. So he agreed to pay them a penny for the day and sent," do you remember our sent word, apostolos, "into his vineyard or kingdom." Okay? And so basically what's going on here and what happens is this man hires people about every couple hours to go into the vineyard or into the kingdom. And so he says to this man at 3 o'clock, "Hey, I don't know why you're standing around, but I will pay you a penny if you will go into the vineyard and work the rest of the day." And then at 5 p.m., he says to someone else, "Hey, I will pay you a penny if you will go into my vineyard and work for the day." And then at 7 and 9 p.m. and even 11 p.m., he says to one of the workers who are just standing around, he says, "Hey, I will pay you a penny if you go into the vineyard and work for the day." Well, what happens is the end of the day comes, and these men and women are ready to cash out. And so this employer basically says, okay, he starts with the last one who started at 11 p.m. and he says, "Here's your penny." And then he kind of goes right on down. The 9 p.m. worker, "Okay, here's your penny." The 7 p.m. worker, "Here's your penny." And he kind of goes right on down, all the way down to that very first person that maybe started at 5 a.m. And he says, "Okay, here's your penny." Well, the 5 a.m. worker and the 9 a.m. worker are very upset that they don't get the exact same pay as the 11 p.m. worker. And what the employer says is, as they're kind of having what I call an adult temper tantrum — have you ever had one of those? Yes, I have. Just crying out, you know, and they're crying out going, "This isn't fair. This isn't fair. I've been working for 14 hours. This guy's been working 1 hour and we both get paid." And the response is, "Why are you upset that I want to be generous? If I want to pay the 11 p.m. worker that worked for 1 hour a penny, and I want to pay you a penny, this was the agreement we made. You don't get to dictate how much I pay each person. And why are you envious of that?" And so what is going on here? Okay, remember, this is a parable about the kingdom. This is a kingdom concept. And what's going on here is Jesus is going against this Pharisaical — which I don't really know if that's a technical word, but we're going to start using it on this show. So this Pharisaical religious mindset based on performance, based on competition, based on jealousy. And he is attacking that kind of religious mindset. And he is saying, "Hey, it's about me and you. Look at me. Listen to me. This is what we agreed upon. In the kingdom, there is no jealousy. There is no competition." Why? Because — and I love, love, love this concept — we're all pushing together. We're all, you know, I drive by our local high school often. They always have on the football field — I'm not sure what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about — is when people are pushing together and the football team pushes against that big metal bar with weights so that they gain that ability. And so in the kingdom, we're all pushing together. And when we keep our eyes in front of us, when we keep our eyes on the harvest — again, harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And so when we keep our eyes on the harvest, we do not begin competing and we don't look around and go, you're performing more, or you're performing better, or you're performing worse. And what I love about this is the kingdom mindset, and I really want you to get this, because the kingdom mindset is a spiritual mindset, meaning it goes against the natural. And in the natural, what we want to do is we want to compare, and we want to compete with one another, and we want to say, hey, I did this better, or I've been doing this longer, or I'm doing more, or my ministry is doing more than your ministry. Why do you get recognized in the city and I don't? You see, that's never an issue in the kingdom, right? That religious, rigid, competitive, jealous mindset, it's not about fair or not fair when we're all pushing and going after the harvest. And that's exactly what's going on with Matthew 20, is they're in the vineyard working, or the kingdom. Okay? And so now what I'm going to ask you to do is jump back over to Luke 10. Because there's six very specific ways that the word go is used. Go, I am sending you out as lamb among wolves. All right? And that's indicating safety. But the other thing I want you to catch, okay, that word to go is used 87 times throughout the Bible. And so what I did was I was very curious, if to go in this context doesn't mean a journey, well, what are you supposed to do with it? And the interesting thing is it's not so much about a physical place that we're going, because remember, when you're in the kingdom is a day-by-day lifestyle. So it's not about going from point A to point B, but a kingdom mindset and the things you do in a practical sense, the action verbs you do, are on a daily basis. This isn't, well, I'll do this today because I'm on my way to church, or it's a Sunday and I just came from church, so I'll treat the waitress nice. It's not that kind of mindset. The kingdom mindset is a continual mindset in the spirit. And so it's not so much go where, we're not answering that, but it's how do I do this? There's six categories we're going to review real quick. And I'm going to give you a verse just to support it, and you can study it on your own. But I really want you to catch this, because how do we go into our city? Well, remember, it's not a literal destination where it's like, okay, I'm going to drive to the high school. I'm going to drive to the gym. That's how I'm going to start. No, he's saying, how do you go into the city? Well, first of all, you have to have a kingdom mindset. And that's a continual lifestyle mindset. And so one of the things of a kingdom mindset, the first one, is always about reconciliation. Matthew 5:24 says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go. Did you catch that? Go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. So in this context of go, we're talking about go, be reconciled. So reconciliation is always a kingdom mindset. The second one really has to do with deliverance, all right? And if you remember, Peter was kind of talking to Jesus and trying to be protective and say, no, I won't let anybody hurt you. I won't let you do this. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Again, in Matthew 8, when Jesus is driving out the demons into the pigs, he says, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. And so this go always operates in a deliverance concept where demons are going. And I'm not going to get into a lot of that today, but his spirit naturally drives those things out. The third one is miracles. When Jesus was doing the loaves and the fish, and the disciple said, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. And listen to this, what they saw. When they found it, they said, 5 and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then, of course, it was miraculously fed the 5,000. We talked about that It's always, always used of kingdom work. And so the other one that to go is commonly found is faith. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went to go and sold all he had and bought that field. Mark 14 says, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you, and you will follow him. The fifth way to go is used is our calling. In Matthew 19, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Another calling Jesus said in Mark, again, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. These are very practical ways that we go, but you see, we always go in the spirit, and then the physical follows. So we have to shift in the spirit through prayer and through building ourselves up in the spirit to have this kingdom mindset. And then once we have that kingdom mindset, we continuously build on that. And the kingdom mindset naturally goes into our city with us throughout our day. The last place that to go is used is for healing. Very practical thing. And this is used many, many times. In Matthew 8, when Jesus had healed the lepers, what he said to them, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Go be a testimony. Very practical. Matthew 9, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Jesus always, when he healed someone, said, go. And the go isn't, again, from point A to point B, but the go is go up and be led under the Spirit and let your life be a living testimony. In Mark, it says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. In Mark 10, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I wanted to give you these six different ways that practically Jesus ends the to go. The to go doesn't necessarily have a direct object, meaning a specific destination, but the to go serves as an action, which is the whole linked concept. We get linked in prayer and practical support to reach the lost, heal the hurting, and restore our communities. That is the mission of linked. And so what I want you to catch is the six ways that you can go in practical sense is reconciliation, deliverance, miracles, faith, your calling or destiny, and in healing. And if you notice, all six of those actually are kingdom mindsets. We cannot do one of those six things without having a kingdom mindset and without being in his spirit. We have to be linked in his spirit. And once we're linked in his spirit, we get linked with each other's, which all six of those, that's what I love about this, is all six of those demonstrate the concept of get linked with the spirit, get linked with others. So Jesus heals someone and said, okay, here's the Holy Spirit, go and let this be a testimony to others so others will see, right? And so I want to challenge you today to have this kingdom mindset wherever you go. To go doesn't mean in this context of Luke 10:3, it doesn't necessarily mean a specific place, but it means go and be led under the Spirit and do these six things that I have asked you to do. Reconciliation, operate in your destiny, miracles, healing, faith, and kingdom. As we close today, I hope that you will continue to tune in to some of our new shows. Are You Real Government with Dub Alexander? I've caught some of those episodes, and those are powerful and very much educational. I've learned many things, and so I hope you will tune into those. That's released twice a month. You can get to know all of our hosts on areyoureal.org. And remember, until we meet again, rest in His love, dance with great joy, and aspire to go higher each day. This is your host, Christy Austin of Are You Real Linked. Have a blessed day.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Linked and encourage you to visit areyoureal.org for more resources based on today's episode, as well as links to more Christian podcasts in our network and the inspiration to help you enkindle everyone around you. God bless and good day.